Well, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. Now the Lord had been in a synagogue and had been invited home with some of the Pharisees, and he went home with them. And later on he'd left there and went out, and great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, now I'm in chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we're commanded to love and honor our parents. And that's the first commandment with blessing. But whosoever would turn us away from the doctrine of the gospel is our spiritual enemy. And we need to recognize that that's the truth and treat them in such a manner as they ought to be treated. We ought to pray for them, but we ought not to fellowship with them. And we cannot be led astray by them. We can't allow them to lead us into any kind of religion that is contrary to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, as I said last week when we were talking, that we fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. Not that any of our sufferings for the name and doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ have any atoning value at all in it, but that that truth, once it is set in the earth and we espouse that truth, we are identified with that truth, then necessarily in this world there are troubles that's going to come our way because of the truth that we love. It's just going to happen. You can't jump in the ocean and not get wet. If you declare that you believe the doctrine of the gospel in this world that hates the gospel, you're going to encounter the hatred of this world. That just follows. It's filling up behind that which is of the afflictions of Christ. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he be able to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? There's a price to be paid. There's afflictions in this warfare. And they have to be borne. And we have to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. It's not between us and the church. It's not between us and our brothers and sisters. It is our faithfulness to the Lord of glory. Amen. It's he who died for us. It is he who put away our sins. It is he who justifies us by his blood. And it is he who will present us holy without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing in the day of judgment. Amen. It is because of his cross work that in the day of judgment there will be nary a sin. In that day, the sin of Israel and of Judah will be sought for, and there shall be none. And the reason is that because Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's a blessed statement. That's the only people that have got any interest in what our Lord Jesus Christ has to say. It's sinners. They're the only one that need him. That's who draws near to him. Sinners. Now look at verse 7. I say unto you likewise, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Well, who is a just person that needs no repentance? He is a self-righteous hypocrite. That's exactly what the scribes and Pharisees were. They were all self-righteous hypocrites. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So all these fellows over here in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, who claim to be just persons or justified persons, justified in the sight of God, justified by their law keeping, by their works, and need no repentance. What day is it that a Christian doesn't need to repent? Yeah. Every day we have something to repent of.
For sure. Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead here. Then drew nigh unto him, all the publicans and sinners. They were interested in what he had to say. Nobody else is interested in what the Lord has to say. This world of the ungodly, they're not interested in what the Lord has to say. They can care less what he has to say. Now they demonstrate that, regardless what it is, by continual absence from the house of the Lord. They're not interested. Henry Mahan gave this example one time. He said, I forget just how it was, but he said, if you get a letter from somebody you love, you read that letter over and over again. Well, some folks never attend the services, they never hear the word of the Lord preached, and they never look at their Bible, but they claim they're Christians.
Yeah.
Now, there's a problem there.
Yeah, there is.
If you love something or someone, you'll have an interest in their interests. Now, I ain't much for quilts, but Gail likes them. And I kind of pay attention to what she says. Here, look at this, how pretty this quilt is. So I'll go over and look at it, and I say, yeah, that's a nice looking quilt. Do we love the person that man, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the object of our love. And in loving Him, we love God the Father, and we love God the Holy Spirit. Our love's not perfect, far away from it, but it's real. He is the object of our love. He's also the object of our faith. It is Him we look to for deliverance, and not from anything that we have ever done or ever will do or anything that we are in ourselves, because whatsoever we are in ourselves is of no value. It's what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That takes God's eye and wins His approval. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Well, now look at how many of them came. It was all of them. All the sinners and publicans around there that God the Holy Spirit had convinced them that they were publicans and sinners, they did one thing. They come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there were other sinners around there, like these Pharisee hypocrites over here. They didn't care what the Lord had to say. They had determined already they was going to murder Him, put Him out of business. They were going to shut His mouth because He spoke evil of them. Because they were evil. But everyone who was convinced of their sinnerhood knew they had need of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we'd do well. I'd do well. We'd all do well to think on how desperately and how desperately daily we need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To bow our haughty nature, to overturn our prejudice against various things, and to put us in the path of Christ-likeness. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Oh my. Now that's what they do. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't do anything but what the scribes and the Pharisees began to murmur. Look at Matthew 9, 10, and 11. Matthew 9, verses 9 and 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said unto his disciples, Why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? And over here it says, why does he receive? Look back at Luke 15:2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad he received sinners. And he only received sinners. Anyone who comes in their own self-righteousness, he will not receive. Because nobody has any righteousness except the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 64:2 says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before him. If we come clothed in our fig leaf righteousness, it'll be found insufficient. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Look at look at Exodus 15:24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Look at verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now look on over at 16:2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And here's what they said: "We would to God that we'd have died at the hand of the Lord in Egypt." That sounds like a bunch of complaining people, don't it? That sounds just like a bunch of men and women. "I just wish we'd have died in Egypt. The Lord brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us with hunger and thirst." That's classic unbelief. Look at 17:3. Exodus 17:3. "And the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?'" So, all of those things show the unbelief of men and our natural tendency to murmur against the Lord. We murmur at the weather. It's either too hot or too cold, it's too wet or too dry. We're never satisfied with what we have. Our situation is unpleasant, and so we murmur. We ought not murmur. Paul said, "I have learned whatever situation I am in to be therewith content." He said, "I've learned how to abound and how to be abased." And when the Lord Jesus and his disciples were out on the sea and the waves were rolling in over the ship and so on, and the Lord Jesus was laying in the back of the ship asleep, he wasn't worried. He knew who was watching over the sea, but his disciples said, "We're going to sink." They said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" He said, "Oh, ye of little faith. Don't you know who's taking care of things?" All right, let's move along. And the scribes and Pharisees murmur, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now, let me look at this. I've got hang on just a minute. Look at Isaiah 65:5. Now here are these scribes and Pharisees, these self-righteous, religious hypocrites. And they're saying, why does your master receive sinners? And they're saying about the same thing as these people here in Isaiah 65:5 said, which say, "Stand by thyself," talking to the Lord, "and come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou." They said, well, if you're going to eat with them sinners, and if you're going to just talk with those sinners and have conversation with sinners, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm holier than you are. Speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. "These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day." And the Pharisee and the Pharisees and scribe murmur, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now, we know who these 99 are. They're these ones over here in verse 7 who need no repentance. They're these justified persons who are justified in their own self-righteousness in their own eyes. And they think they need no repentance. And that's who the 99 are. And what does the Lord do with them? He leaves them in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness. They're lost. They don't know it. But they are. Now, it's nothing to rejoice over. But it's the will of God that it's that way. Else it would be some other way. If it was the Lord's purpose to save every individual on this earth, he would have had it done. But it's not. He came to save his elect.
Yeah.
And that's who he's going to save. And that's who he has saved up this time. That's who he's going to go on saving.
Yeah.
And when it's all over with and done, they'll say, "Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. And we shall reign on the earth."
Yeah.
That's what they're going to say. Revelation 5:9-10. But he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them?" Well, now, how did this sheep get lost? Well, it was of the seed of Adam. Adam sinned, and the sheep sinned in Adam. But it's still a sheep.
Yeah.
It was lost, but it was a lost sheep. And it was still his sheep. He said, "It's my sheep. So I'm going to go find it." So he came from heaven to earth in search of his sheep. And he's going to find every one of them. And he'll lay them on his shoulder and he'll bring them to glory. Now look at Ezekiel 34. Verses 11 and 12. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out.
Amen.
Now this is no yay and nay gospel. This is no, well, you might get home to glory, but then again, you might not. No. He's going to bring all his sheep home to glory.
Amen.
Every one of them. It's a done deal. It's finished. It was finished before the foundation of the world in the purpose and grace of God. And it cannot be changed, no matter how sorry we are. I doubt any of us is going to get much more sorry than King David was when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered by the hand of the children of Ammon, nor probably as bad off as the Apostle Peter whenever he said, I don't know the man. We're justified not by our actions, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blood cleanseth from all sin.
Amen. Amen.
You're not guilty. I don't care what your conscience says, what anything else says, you're not guilty. If you're a believer,
Amen.
Well, the Holy Spirit purges your conscience, your conscience is going to say, you're not guilty. When you've seen the blood, when you see the truth that the blood of Christ purges our sins, put away our sins, then we have no more conscience of sin. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep, and I'm seek them out, and all the devils in hell, and all the false preachers on top side of this globe can't stop that.
Amen.
He's going to do it.
Amen.
As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Look at Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God not lied. And he's not lied in that covenant of grace. Look at Psalm 89. Verses 35 through 37. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. That's Christ Jesus. His seed shall endure forevermore, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heavens. Stop and wonder. I've sworn by my holiness. Now look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews Hebrews 6:17. Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. God swore. Well, he swore to our great high priest, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and then he swore to those who are under the priesthood of Christ, thy seed shall endure forever. So that's who's going to endure, is the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go back to Luke. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if one of them, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost, if maybe he can find it? No, he's going to go after it until he finds it. He said, I will seek my sheep. We arose out of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, where our head and husband lay, and we got up with him. He called us out of the grave of our death and gave us a part in the resurrection, because we are children of resurrection. You've already been raised from the dead. You sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the communion of the Holy Spirit this hour. We have fellowship, and we're having fellowship with the Father and the Son in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love and adore the same truth that he has put before us and given us, that he loves. He glories in this doctrine that we preach. We rejoice in his Son, and so does he. Our communion, our fellowship, is with the Father and the Son in the Spirit. And he'll go after it which was lost until he finds it. And when he hath found it, well, he just turns it loose, see if he can get home. Now that's the way the Arminians would put it. Well, let's see if you can make it now. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He ain't going to turn it loose. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors. And who would that be? Well, that's all the saints in glory. That's all the angelic host. And whoever else is up there. Saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you that likewise, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now that repentance is the gift of God. And the reason that person repented is because that God gave him repentance by the Holy Spirit. Christ put the Spirit of truth in them, and they saw what they were in the light of that truth, and it brought about repentance. We repent of our former idolatry. What we thought God was before and what we thought we were before, until we're taught of the Spirit and we find out the truth of what we are. Zero. Nothing. I say unto you that likewise there is joy in heaven over one precious sinner that repenteth. And they're all precious. They've all been beloved of God as He loved the Lord Jesus Christ from the days of eternity and eternity past. Christ Jesus spoke for them, being the advocate of the everlasting covenant, and the Father thought on them and loved them and gave them to His Son. A love gift. Here, son. Here's your bride. You've got to wash her in your blood. You've got to cleanse her, make her holy in your own holiness. Clothe her with your righteousness and bring her home to the family. I say unto you that likewise there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. More, a lot more rejoicing over that one sinner than those 99 hypocrites, self-righteous religionists out there in the world. Turn to, I guess that's enough for today.